I'm Eric, lead pastor at Hillside Assembly. We're so glad you're tuning into this week's podcast. You're about to hear an excerpt from our Christmas worship experience. We hope you open your heart and your mind to hear a word from God today.
But the light that began in Bethlehem was life. And this life, Jesus Christ, was the light for all humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Every December 25th, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. It's not the actual date that Jesus was born on, but it's a day for us to remember, to share, to spend with family. Many of us have Christmas traditions that we spend with family and friends, whether on Christmas Eve or on Christmas or both. I grew up a military kid, which often meant that we did not celebrate Christmas on Christmas. And many of you have done that. Some of you are doing that this season, or you make several different trips to several different families. But it remains the same, that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And what is this birth of Christ? What was it all about? It's simply not the story of a baby being born, but it is the fact that you and I are separated from our God by our sin. And in the Old Testament, they would take and do sacrifices to try to make that relationship right, but that system was not working. Jesus would become the ultimate sacrifice. The birth of Jesus was about God connecting with his people. Jesus came and turned everything around. And the people who struggled the most were the religious. See, it's not about religion. It's not about a Sunday morning program. It's not about all these unique ministries. It is about connecting with Christ, growing in your relationship with him, and being empowered to go and impact the lives of others by serving our King and other people. That is the story of Christmas. See, we went through the traditional Christmas story, which is found in the scriptures, but Christmas came on so many different days for so many individuals in the Bible. And if you allow me just a few moments to pull just a few of those stories together, how the Christmas story continues. Throughout the Gospels, we see the calling of the disciples. 12 men who Jesus called to take the good news to the world. They were his team. See, before this, if you look in the Old Testament, it was really about individuals making a difference. And I believe individuals do make a difference. But when Jesus came and with the calling of the disciples, the story changes to a team dynamic, to this partnership with Christ. And that is what he is calling you and I to, a partnership in ministry. See, first to see God do something in you, but then he longs to do something through you. And that's what these disciples were all about. And if you and I were to pick a team together that would change the world, that would turn it upside down, I guarantee you we would not have picked any one of these 12. In the world's eyes, they were goofballs, messed up individuals. And let alone trying to bring all these people together and work under one thing for one common goal. But isn't that what the church is? A bunch of goofy people who don't have their lives together, who come together and are unified by a calling of the Savior to do something for our King. Among the disciples would be James, John, and Andrew, who were fishermen, who Jesus would call to become fishers of men. There would be Philip, who would find this light of Jesus, and his first reaction is to find his brother Nathanael, who would say, "Jesus, who lived in Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And his brother's response, "Come and see." Many of you who have a connection with Jesus, you've poured out your life and you've invited people to come and you've shared your testimony of what Jesus has done, and they have that same kind of attitude. But I encourage you to keep the light lit. Continue to say, "Come and see what Jesus can do for your life." These adventures of these men would go on. They would be a part of seeing other candles lit. People's lives who would come to find hope in Jesus. Just a few of these. In Mark chapter 5, we find a man plagued and tortured by an evil spirit. He's actually living among the tombs. He's living with dead bodies. His mind is so ravaged. The townspeople would try to help and they couldn't. They would put him in bonds and chains and ropes to try to contain him so he wouldn't hurt others and himself, but he would break free and return to the grave. But an encounter with Jesus and the hopeless would find living hope. He would find a mind restored and a man's life lit with a flame of Jesus. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. You have to understand that lepers were outcast, lonely, isolated. When you came down with some type of disease, especially that was in your skin, you would go before the priest, and the priest would basically excommunicate you from life. You couldn't even live among your family. You'd have to go out, and so they created leper colonies. That sounds like a great idea, right? Because sick people finding other sick people and hanging out is never a good thing. And our culture does it all the time. We deal with things, we're wounded, we're hurt, we're addicted, and we find somebody with that same hurt to connect with, and we're stuck in the same cycle over and over and over again. But Jesus comes and he breaks all the rules of culture and society, and he steps out and he begins to communicate with these men. He gives them direction and tells them to go on their way, and as they go, they receive their healing. When we're obedient to God and his word, amazing things begin to happen in our life. And 10 men's lives were touched. But one man's life would be forever changed as he returns to the Savior. He didn't even finish doing what Jesus had told him to do. He ran back and thanked Jesus for his physical healing, and in doing so, found his salvation. In Mark chapter 5, we find a woman with a medical condition, an issue of blood. She had suffered for 12 years, and many of you this morning can understand going through something, whether it's physical or mental or something that you're dealing with in your family that just has been going on and on and on and on for years and years and years. And at times, hope seems to fail you. You think because the expectation of what you've experienced, you figure that it hasn't changed for 12 years, it's going to be the same for the rest of my life. This woman saw doctor after doctor. She had spent all she had to try to find healing, wholeness. But she had heard about this man named Jesus. She had heard that he had done miracles before. And in her intimidation, she thought, "If I can just touch him, perhaps I can be made whole." Reaching out in faith and believing that Jesus could change her life, this woman received her healing. Anytime that we step out in faith, God's power is activated in our life. It may not always be the way that we think it should work, but it's there, and Jesus is at work. In Mark chapter 5, we find a religious leader named Jairus, a religious man going to church, doing all these things, walking through the checklist to get the family together, to go to church, to do all these duties, to put the smile on, to look right, to have the suit on. All that meant nothing because he gets word that his daughter is dead. And he finds no hope in religion. But Jesus tells him to ignore what people have told him and believe. Jesus goes to his home and speaks, "Little girl, get up." And she is brought back to life, and the flame is lit. Because maybe you have walked through religion your entire life. You've got the checklist and you check it off. Maybe you're someone who just goes to church at Christmas and Easter, and you check off the list. And Jesus wants to come in and take the life that you have that's dead and bring life to it with a relationship with him. In relationship with others. That's what the church is about. It's not about religious service. It's about connecting with each other. Connecting with Christ. In Mark chapter 6, a boy gives up his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus feeds 5,000 with leftovers, the first Christmas dinner. Let me know if yours goes that way this week. A boy gave basically his happy meal, and God fed 5,000. Because maybe you're here this morning and you think, I have so very little to offer God. I have so very little. What could God ever do with what I have in my life? If Jesus takes a happy meal and feeds 5,000 people, I guarantee you he can light a flame in your life that changes the people that you live and work around. There is no question. In Mark chapter 7, we see a man who is deaf and mute. And Jesus pulls him aside, basically gives him a wet willy. He sticks his fingers in his ears and touches his tongue, and the man is healed. Come on, Jesus is infinitely creative. Don't tell me that church isn't supposed to be fun. God sticking his finger in people's ears and touching their tongue, how weird that must have been. And the deaf man hears, and the mute man speaks. And you know what? The man can't stop telling people about what Jesus has done for him. Because when you experience the power of God in your life, you can't be silent. The flame is lit in the darkness. And as much as the darkness would want to consume it, a light that's lit illuminates the dark. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus connects with a blind man of Bethsaida. And what do you think happens? He receives sight and vision. We see a woman who's accused of adultery in the scriptures. A mob forms wanting to kill this woman. Jesus kneels down, writes in the ground, and we don't know what he writes. The mob disperses, and Jesus speaks these words into this woman's life. Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. And she leaves behind her life of sin for a life in freedom found through grace in Jesus Christ. You're here this morning and you look at your past and all the things you've done, all the mistakes you've made, all the choices that you made that don't line up with what God wants for your life. And you think, I'm too far gone. God could never love me. You're thinking you're like one of these candles. You're waiting to spontaneously combust this morning because you stepped into church. But no one is here to condemn you for your past. Not this pastor, not anyone that's sitting here. Because we can understand what it's like to have a past and how Jesus can restart your life and start you afresh. Maybe you've been accused. Maybe you've got a past. Maybe you're rightfully accused. But welcome to forgiveness that's found in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11, a man named Lazarus dies. This man is a friend of Jesus, along with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Some time goes by, Jesus shows up. Sisters think that he's late. If only you had come when he was sick, you could have healed him. Can I tell you this morning that God always has a plan no matter how dark your life gets? He comes to the grave, walks to the tomb, and he calls out the name Lazarus. And Lazarus comes out of that grave, probably looking like a mummy, hopping out probably. And Jesus tells those surrounding him to get those grave clothes off. The only greater miracle would be when Jesus himself would be crucified and raised 3 days later. Just like Jesus called Lazarus's name and he came out of the grave and said, put on new clothes because this man is no longer dead. He is alive by the power of Christ. This morning, there is a name being called, my friend, and it is yours. There's a name being called, and it's yours. He's calling you out of a grave, and he's calling you out of your sin, and he's calling you out of your dysfunction, and he's ready to light the candle in your life so that in the darkness, you would see the illumination of God's grace in your life, and you'd be able to take that next step.